Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
How many of you are ready to get into the Word of God today?
Yes.
I'm going to hand it over to Sammy as she takes us through our scripture today.
Yes. Can we be upstanding for the reading of God's Word, even those online? So we're reading two passages today. The first is in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 15. And then the second is in John chapter 6, verses 26 to 35. And so Matthew then reads, "Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And then now in John, from verse 26, it reads, "Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal.' Then they said to him, 'What must we do to be doing the work of God?' Jesus answered them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent.' So they said to him, 'Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?' 'Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' They said to him, 'Sir, give us this bread always.' Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst.' May God bless the reading of his holy word."
Amen. Father, thank you that you are all we need.
Yes.
You're all that we need. Even when we don't know it, even when we don't see it, you are all that we need. In a time of uncertainty, you are all that we need. In a time when we're not sure, you are all that we need. And so, God, during this pandemic and the situation that we are finding ourselves in globally, and even here in Brisbane, Australia, we thank you, Lord, that we worship a God who is certain, who is sure, who is our daily bread. And we pray, God, that as we encounter you today, whether we're watching online or we're here at this venue, Lord, that there would be just an echo of heaven, that we'd be able to hear from you, directly from you. Lord, I want to move out of the way that we hear directly from heaven, from our Father, our Daddy, who loves his kids so much. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're in the series called The Lord's Prayer, where we're going through Matthew chapter 6, looking at the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Now, we've been in this series for about 5 weeks now. You can go back and listen to the rest of this message. I'm going to be unpacking the part where Jesus prays, "Give us this day our daily bread." We're going to be talking a lot about the petition of God. Now, I want us to notice where in this prayer this comes. Samantha read through the Lord's Prayer, or the prayer that was taught to the disciples, and we will notice that it falls not at the beginning of the prayer, but in the middle. We'll get to that in just a moment. But the whole point of the prayer, ladies and gentlemen, is not that we're just asking for stuff. The whole point of prayer. Have you ever asked yourself, what's the point of praying? Because if you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, before he launches into the actual prayer, he asks, he tells the disciples, when you pray to the Father, your Father knows your needs even before you ask. So you may ask the question, well, what's the point of praying if he already knows my needs? Well, if we center on prayer just being about us asking him for stuff, and unfortunately this mentality has seeped and found its way into the West, where we're so consumerist around God that he becomes more like a vending machine than he becomes God. And what we have come today together to do is to worship God, our Lord. So the point of prayer is not give me. The point of prayer is to make Jesus central. Last week, I talked a lot about how our lives can orbit around different things. I used the example of like this microphone stand representing the presence of God or Jesus, and our lives, the different aspects of our lives just revolving around Jesus. But life will tempt us towards our lives revolving around different things. So we end up coming off center and we end up having our lives revolve around money, around our career, around relationships, around our education. And those may all be good things, but they're not God. But we've got to understand that prayer helps us. The whole point of prayer is to help realign and recenter our orbit around Jesus. It's more than just an Israel Houghton song. Jesus at the center, like everything revolves around him. That should be the whole point of our life in prayer, is to recenter around Jesus, asking God, God, what do you want to do? We acknowledge your lordship in our lives. Now, I want us to notice this, ladies and gentlemen, as we go through this prayer, I want us to notice the format of this prayer, and you can take a look at it, right? Petition, or the part where Jesus teaches the disciples how to ask for the things that they need. Notice I use the word need, not want. I will get to that in a moment. But notice where it falls in the prayer, okay? The entry point to prayer is our relationship with God. Every single time that Jesus teaches the disciples to pray, or every single time that Jesus relates to God, it's always as what? Anybody know? It says Father. He always refers to God as Father. Why? Because our entry point into prayer, into our existence as Christians, is through the relationship we get to have with God as Father. There's only one part in all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where we find that Jesus does not refer to God as Father. He just refers to him as God. Does anybody remember that? It's when he's on the cross and he quotes Psalm 22. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he recognizes there's a separation at that point. In order for him to embrace the sin of the world, he is separated from who? The Father. Now he's leaning on God's Godship. Now, are you with me? That the entry point into prayer is always our relationship with God. But how many of us have treated God like he's a genie, or he's Santa Claus, or he's some form of vending machine that we just get stuff from, rather than actually centering our lives upon his lordship? So he teaches them, our Father in heaven. Notice it's our Father, because fatherhood is best represented when we fight to come together in relationship. He's our Father. He's not just my Father. Jesus doesn't teach them to pray, okay, you can say he's your Father, just you. But he's teaching them to understand that there's a corporate nature, that God's calling you to be the part of the body of Christ under the fatherhood of God. Hallowed be your name. So hallowed is a word that we don't get to use, but it means to take extreme place of priority, exaltation. We talked about that as well. So it's recognizing who he is, recognizing also that we have a relationship with him. We get to have that relationship with him. But then he talks about this adoration coming through the lens of surrender. Like we're to surrender our lives to him. The next verse says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it doesn't just say, okay, we have a relationship with the creator of the universe. That's massive in and of itself. But we also acknowledge that he is Lord of our lives. We don't just acknowledge who you are. We acknowledge that you rule all of this. So there's adoration, and then there's surrender, and then there's petition. Then we get to ask him for things, for the things that we need. We petition him for that which is on our heart that we need. Are you getting where I'm driving at here? Like you have to, number one, you have to have a right relationship with God in order to appreciate the power of prayer. Understanding that it's not just a theological truth that is who he is, but that is who he is to me. And then an acknowledgement of that, there needs to be a complete surrender to his will being done in my life, and on earth and in Brisbane as it is in heaven. And then in that context, we can pray, give us this day our daily bread. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, okay, I want you to provide an extensive list of everything that you need, because he knows what you need even before you ask. Now, does that mean don't petition God for specific needs? No, absolutely not. I think if it's going to help you to recenter the pain of not being able to see these things provided for, then take them to God. If it's going to help you to release that so that anxiety can be removed, please do take those needs to God. But I need you to understand that it's in the context of surrendering and understanding that He already knows your needs even before you ask. It's just putting your heart at rest. And then we'll get to confession and submission in the later weeks to come. Now, I remember, you know, as a bachelor, when I used to live in New Zealand and I used to live with a whole bunch of guys in a house. And, you know, when you don't have much money, you don't buy new appliances, you buy secondhand appliances. And so we bought a secondhand washing machine. It wasn't very good. It was the sort of washing machine that if it was slightly out of kilter, it would start to rattle. Any of you have had any experience with such washing machines? The type that rattle and make all sorts of noise that start to rock the whole laundry room and start to move across the floor if things aren't well balanced, you know, and then you have to, it was a dreaded duty of mine, like to have to hear that sound of the vum, 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 and then it'll just stop, boom. And then, man, it was so old, it just beat. Like the newer washing machines, they go, bring, bring. But this one was like a bam, bam. It's like, oh, we have to go down. And when you go down, you open up the washing machine, and usually you'll find that your clothes are slightly off center. Like the weight of your clothes are kind of like off kilter. So you have to spread them out evenly in order to get the wash happening. Any of you ever had a washing machine like that? Or am I just poor and lonely? I don't have a washing machine like that anymore. I still overload it. My wife still corrects me on it. But like when the washing machine is out of center or things all bunched up on one side of the cylinder and there's nothing on the other side, it, you know, it starts to move like it's got a personality. Our prayers need to be balanced like that in terms of putting weight on the side of adoration and surrender to God. But too often when we pray, whether it's pray for one another or pray for ourselves, we run immediately to petition. And so to set the balance in our prayer, we must spend time recentering and realigning our focus on who He is and then who He is in our lives. And our response to who He is to surrender. And then coming to the place of asking, give us this day our daily bread. Why does He ask for daily bread? And what's up with bread anyway? Why can't it be French fries? Any of you prefer French fries to bread? And can I get a witness up in here from somebody? Why bread? Fish and chips, somebody over here said. We'll pray for you. Well, the reason why we have bread, obviously this prayer is being prayed in Israel, in the Middle East, is that we see this on two levels, because prayer, the prayer for bread represents firstly as sustenance, right? Everything that we need to be sustained in life and for each day. Matthew 6, the same chapter, if you jump to verse 34, it says that do not worry about the things of tomorrow, for tomorrow will have enough cares of its own. But live, you know, live in this place of seeking Him first, right? In His kingdom and His righteousness, that all things, including bread, will be taken care of, or will be added unto you. But bread is sustenance. But on a deeper level, with the second passage that Sam read, is understanding that bread is Jesus Himself. Okay, so on one level, it's the provision. On another level, it's the provider who is our portion. And that's what God is wanting us to see in this prayer, that Jesus is more than enough for us. Anytime we ask the question, where's mine? We should answer, Jesus. I know that sounds naive. I know that sounds like something that we can just flippantly say, oh, Jesus is more than enough for you. But how many of you know, like, it's a real wrestle. It's a real wrestle when you see your careers going down a certain way, or you see your relationships are going a certain way, or they're not going at all. Like, you're like, oh, what's up, God? And then for me to just stand up here and go, Jesus is more than enough for you. And you're like, oh, gosh, this guy. I get it. I know that there's a struggle with that. Well, let's take a quick journey through why bread, right? When we look at the first mention of bread, we find it actually after the fall. Adam and Eve partake of the fruit of which they're told not to partake of in the garden. And upon this, God the Father gives Adam this instruction, and he says, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. But it's from this passage that we actually see bread enter into our vernacular, our general conversational English, right? Because when we refer to bread, we refer to bread in modern day English as like money, right? How many of you have heard, oh man, I gotta make some bread? Oh, that's gonna cost me a lot of bread. Any of you heard that? Or how many of you have referred to either your spouse or your mom or your dad or yourself as the breadwinner, which speaks not just of the pita bread, of which they would, you know, like the pita-type bread that they would and continue to eat in Israel, which the Hebrew word is lechem, right? And that's this sort of bread that we see. It's not referring to that. What he's talking about is actual sustenance, the stuff that it takes to sustain your life. And so we see this throughout the Old Testament. And in fact, the passage that Samantha read earlier refers to how the people that were listening to Jesus, who was referring to himself as the bread of life, still didn't get it because they kept on thinking about the way that bread has come to them in the past. And what Jesus is trying to do then and what he's trying to do now is to renew our minds to know that Jesus is more than enough for us. He's more than enough for you. Everything that you're worried and anxious about should be found in Jesus. Your career path, your relationships and friendships, the things that you worry about, it's centering our lives around Jesus. Your education, for those of you who are students, you might be worried about school or worried about if you'll make the team, you know, if you play sports. Jesus is more than enough for us. That's why when we read here in Matthew chapter 4, this is where Jesus is tempted by the enemy. How many of you remember this, right? If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, always answering with the word of God, man shall not live by bread alone. He at least needs peanut butter and jam. No. But by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So when Sammy was reading about how these people were worried that this bread that Jesus talked of was different from the manna that they experienced in coming from heaven in Exodus, right? He was like, they were like, yeah, we understand God's going to provide just like he did with Moses. And Jesus said, no, this is different from the bread that was given from heaven for Moses. In fact, you know, if you look and research what manna was, for those, how many of you don't like coriander? I know there's different types of people. There's a few people, Regine doesn't like coriander. Anybody else here doesn't like coriander? All right, we've got a few friends here that don't like coriander. You would have hated manna because it's like coriander crackers. Miguel's saying, oh, that's delicious. I can get through 40 years in the desert with manna. Yeah, I know that there's people who have a gag reflex when they taste coriander. It's like, oh, it's like screeching your fingernails on a chalkboard in your mouth, like coriander. Oh. But that's what it would have been like. And you could tell why the Israelites were like, oh, this was good for the first year every day, but like, after year 30, coriander crackers. And yet we make fun of the Israelites who were going through the desert. We wouldn't have lasted a month with coriander crackers. But when you understand food is there to sustain you, and God is just sustaining you with just enough to make it through this life, because guess what? This life isn't all there is to it. There's an eternity that God wants us to have a perspective for. And that's why Jesus says, no, I am the bread of life. And you can't live by that bread alone, but by the word of God. And when you center your life around the word of God, around the will of God, you'll begin to understand that your provision is all in that, right? When you discover what God has planned for you and what his word says about that plan, and you just begin to walk in obedience for that and do that, it's amazing how as you step out in faith, not in fear, but as you step out in faith, it's amazing how his provision comes. And it's not just enough, it's more than enough, because God wants to use you and sustain you to above and beyond whatever you could even ask or think, Ephesians 3:20, so that it will overflow into others that are around you. That's the sort of God we serve. Let's look at John chapter 6. This is the passage that Sammy read. Jesus then said, truly, truly. Now, whenever he repeats the word twice, he's trying to get your attention. Does Jesus have your attention this morning? All right. Truly, truly, I say to you, Brisbaneites, and not just Israelites, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. They sounded like that too, like that was their voice. Sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Does that mean like right now, I know some of you are like, Nelly, I know you're going to wind it up soon and we're going to get together to worship, but I'm getting hungry. So I see some of y'all looking at me like that and just move it along, Nelly. No, but like that hunger is not just talking about your physical hunger like for lunch after this. But what Jesus is addressing here is the dissatisfaction or the appetite that you have for the things of this world. It's not necessarily just the things that are actually tasted through your mouth, but tasted in terms of fulfillment in your spirit. For those of you who've been around this church for more than a month will know that I'm an Apple fan, okay? Like I use Apple products, okay? This is not an advertisement for Apple products, although the new iPhone is coming out, and I'm looking forward to that. Come, Jesus. But, you know, like they just released the new iPad and new Apple Watch. And the new Apple Watch that came out is the Apple Watch 6, Series 6. I have a Series 2, right, on my wrist right now here. And, you know, you look at what's being advertised, you look at your watch, and then you look at what that watch can do. It can make you a cup of coffee, you know, it can massage your back, it can tell you that you're amazing. This watch, you know, is starting to go really slow, you know, like it's starting, you look at that watch, you look at this watch, and you start to compare, and you're like, I think I need that. So give us this day our daily watch. You know, like you're just like, I need that in my life. That's that craving. And that's what the world does for us. That's what, even like if you oversaturate your life with social media, it'll advertise stuff that you need. And it affects us so much that when we saturate ourselves with images of things that will never satisfy, they become that which we are imaged after. We no longer centered around Jesus, we're centered around other images when we are made in the image of God, so we end up centering our lives over here. How come I don't have that house? How come I haven't been on a holiday? How come my body doesn't look like that? Verse 36. After Jesus says, I am the bread of life, you shall not hunger. And I sense this as the words that Jesus is saying to us here in Brisbane. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you don't believe. What are the images or the words that surround our psyche that cause us to be divided in what God has for us and what we embrace as that which will sustain us? You'll never be satisfied. If you center your life on anything else, you will never be satisfied because those are small gods. If we look at provision without looking at the provider, we will never be fulfilled. After the Korean War, the theologian R.C. Sproul wrote about, after the Korean War, there were a bunch of refugees and there was a refugee camp for children who had lost their parents due to the war. And in that refugee camp, there was provision that came primarily from the United States, but also from Koreans as well, to help provide for these refugees, and especially these children who are now orphaned. Of course, their finances, I mean, they were taken care of in terms of the sustenance, the bread that they would get to eat, like the food that they would get to eat. But they would still experience anxiety and turmoil. And so often what these people, the people who are hosting and helping to serve in this refugee camp would notice that they would find comfort in their sleep as they would sleep. They would find comfort when they would give them a small slice of bread or a small morsel of bread to take to bed. And that piece of bread was not necessarily for them to eat, but for them to know they were provided for, and they would sleep like many children do with teddy bears. They would sleep holding that piece of bread, knowing I'm being taken care of tomorrow. How much more should we hold on to Jesus, knowing that he will take care of us, knowing that he will sustain us? See, when we are not centered on the Father, we begin to doubt his ability to take care of his children. This is the same God, brothers and sisters, this is the same God that just spoke words and created the universe. You think he can't take care of your bills? This is the same God who rules over parliaments and governments and GDPs and economies, and that's just on one planet amidst the billions of galaxies we have in the universe. And you think he can't take care of paying for your petrol or your lights or your kids or supporting you, paying for your school fees? You think he won't be able to take care of you? I'm telling you that he is the sustainer of all life in the universe. And yet we doubt his ability to take care of our mortgage. My encouragement to you today is to invite you to a place of finding deep satisfaction that can only be found in God. Only Jesus will satisfy you. Only he will. And if you're watching this, or if you're here today and you've been trying to look for this deep-seated satisfaction in other things and other sources, I'm here to tell you today that you've been sold a gospel that will fall far short if you believe that God exists just to provide you with stuff. Our relationship with God is more than enough for us. As he dictates our lives, as he is our portion, as he rules and orders our steps. The Bible says in Psalms that the steps of the righteous are ordered by God. So every step I take, it's the Bobby Brown song, right? Every little step you take, he will be there. So I'm going to give you five things that I want you to just write down. I'm going to go through them quite quickly. In order for us to live out in this lifestyle, it's one thing for me to preach this gospel of Jesus being more than enough for you, that no other God will satisfy you, but it's in our fallenness that we have tried to embrace other gods to satisfy ourselves. I'm here to tell you today, they will not satisfy you. And even in church, we can fall into that trap of worshiping smaller gods. Even in my line of work, it's so easy for me to be captivated by the work of the Lord, forgetting the Lord of the work, and try to find satisfaction in the pursuance of the God junk rather than the God himself. And God is here to tell you today, only he can satisfy. So I'm going to give you these five things. I want you to write them down and then ask God how he might be causing you to apply these things in your life, because these things will help you to walk this out. Are you ready? Firstly, acknowledge God knows best for you and is more than enough. Let me say that in proper English. Acknowledge God knows what is best for you and he is more than enough. There's going to be times when you will debate in your mind, okay, what I know and what I think is best for me is path A. But what his word and the counsel of the Lord and the different people that have given me wisdom that I trust, that God's brought into my life, says path B. Will you trust God, or will you trust what his spirit, his wise counsel, and what his word says, if you believe that he knows what's best? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able. Everybody say God is able. Now say it like you have faith that he is able. God is able. Come on. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. The question is our work good? Because if we're trying to work to make things happen rather than trusting God for good work, of which he will provide all things at all times and operate in all sufficiency, then we begin to understand how he's ordering our steps around that. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. This is actually in the Message version. The last one is in the ESV, but check this out. I love the wording here. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out and never wear out. Don't you love that? This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away. Catch that. Which grows into fully formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. That's your daddy. That's our father. Number two, be thankful for what you have and for who you have. Hello, somebody. Be thankful for what you have and for who you have. The Psalms talk about it, right? We enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. If your focus is not on what you is on what you don't have, rather than taking time to thank God for what you do have, you begin to distance yourself from God because you can't enter into his presence unless you enter in with thanksgiving and praise. Won't you come on in? Won't you thank him for what you do have? You live in Australia. Do you recognize, right, if you're watching this in Queensland, and obviously those of you who are here, that we are in one of the best places in the world to walk through this pandemic right now. This specific state especially. This specific city. When we see our brothers and sisters that are in Sydney and Melbourne, and shout out to those of you who may be watching in Melbourne or in Sydney right now, even in our own nation, we understand that we are in a privileged position, and yet we still find ourselves going, where? Give me. I don't have. You know, and God says, no, I need you to enter in with thanksgiving and into courts with praise, because God will actually reactivate your life towards thinking about what you do have and how blessed you are to be a blessing. We'll get there in a second. Number three, stop craving for what you can't have. Just stop it. Stop craving the stuff you can't have. It'd be like driving a car. Can you imagine, for those of you who drive, if your windshield was the rear view mirror and the rear view mirror was your windshield? That's the way we often live, right? We have such a huge perspective on the things of the past and the things that we don't have from the past. And this happened to me. That's why it'll never happen moving forward. And God's saying, no, there's a reason why your windscreen is much bigger than your rear view mirror. It's like you can take where God has brought you from and testify about his goodness right now, so that when you move forward, you understand that the same God in the past is the same God right now and the same God who will take you into your future. In line with that analogy, you go to number four. You need to slow down. Slow your roll. Slow down.
Slow down.
To quote the whale from Finding Nemo. Slow down. Appreciate the things that are around you. Here's a few tips. Try taking a break from social media. Just try, you know, like a day a month a year, something like that. Well, just take a break from it. If that's what's moving your attention away from what your perceived lack of God's ability to provide for you, then take your eyes off of the things that are stirring up the pot of seeing what the world would provide for you as necessary. This world has nothing for you. Do you realize? This world has absolutely nothing for you of eternal consequence, and therefore we need to live with an eternal perspective. But yet it's so easy for us to slip into that lifestyle of gimme. Slow down. When those of you who drive, try this. Drive slower. Drive within the speed limit. Wow, it's amazing. Instead of getting those love letters from Queensland Transport keep coming through because you're always in a rush. And the reason being, right, or even a practical thing, like, you know, when you see the actual manual stop sign there, the, you know, the red lollipop, like stop and actually stop. Like one of my best friend's mom used to always say, like, a true stop is when you put the brakes on and then it goes, go. You know what I mean? Like it goes, go. I don't know how to explain that in English, but like stop to stop. Stop so that your mind can think for a moment. Rather than racing towards what's next, appreciate the now. Appreciate the moment that you're in. Try this too. When you go to the supermarket, go in the longest queue and stand there and look around. Don't be in a rush to get, I mean, unless you have to, but like slow down and don't look at your phone. Like appreciate life. Actually use your brain to think through what you have around you. Like the provision that's there, and try not to go like me down the chocolate aisle too, that, you know, the one that has all the little chocolate bars. Oh, wow, that's 50 cents today. Wow, I didn't know that. Must be God's provision. Give us this day our daily chocolate. No, no. Slow down. Everybody say, slow down. Turn to somebody and tell them, you need to slow down. Number five, we're winding this up. And this one's going to hurt a little bit if you're not centered on Jesus, but it's a privilege for those who are centered on him. Be the bread for somebody else. If Jesus is more than enough for you, then there's a reason why he's more than enough for you. I love putting it this way. In Proverbs 18, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before the great. Now, the word gift there is not necessarily the talent, although you can use it in that from that perspective, but the word gift is actually a financial term when you read it in the Hebrew. So the way that God has called us to make room for whatever God has for us as we move forward is to be generous. But I don't have enough. Yes, you do. Are you going to die if that happens, you know, if you give that away? I share this at Shift, and I'll close with this analogy. And I share this not to, and again, I know for those of you who have been around me, and I've shared this a couple of times, I share this not to magnify my ability to give, but to magnify the wrestling that was in my spirit when I did. As you can see, I'm freshly faded. You know, I went for a haircut on Wednesday, and my friend, he's not yet a follower of Jesus, my friend who's the barber there, I've been building with him for a while. And then he started to voice up about different struggles that he had with his family around finances. And I clearly heard the Holy Spirit say, there's a reason why I put that money in your wallet. And I was like, oh, I rebuke you, Satan. Like, you know, like, it must be, I don't know if that's God. But like, he started to talk about specific things that he wanted to do with his family as a father, but wasn't able to. And then our conversation went on, and then he started to talk about everything happens for a reason. You know, and I know, Nelly, you believe in your God, but there's a higher power of the universe, and I believe everything happens for a reason. And, you know, like, even this conversation that we're having right now, this is him talking to me. Even this conversation we're having right now, I think everything's happening for a reason. And I was like, are you preaching to me as a non-believer, as an unchurched person? Because it was clear the Holy Spirit had provided for me to be a blessing. So I wrestled with it, to be honest. So that's why I'm not magnifying this as a, like, look at Nelly, he gave. No, it was a wrestle, internal wrestling happening. And then I was, you know, like, we're COVID safe, right? So, you know, while he's disinfecting the chair for the next person, I didn't take offense thinking that I sat there and made it stink. But, like, you know, we have to sign our information and stuff. And as I'm signing it, he comes over, and I paid for my haircut with my card. And then I said, I want you to know I really believe everything that you said about everything happening for a reason. And I want you to know my God told me, okay, and this is from God. And I gave him what God had instructed me to give him. And I said, this is from him for you because everything happens for a reason. And I just saw in his eyes, like, he started tearing up. I was like, dude, don't cry. You still got barber, you got customers, man. Come on, man. He was like, thank you so much. You know, like, I really can see that God is real. And I walked away like, yeah, thanks God that I was able to be used, but at the same time rebuked, because so many times I hear God say, I don't just want you to pray for them, I want you to give, I want you to sow, because the money you have in your wallet, is it's not yours. It belongs to me, says the Lord. I'm your daily bread. We think our job is our daily bread. No, our job is that which was given to us by God. But if our provision revolves more around our businesses or more around our jobs, not understanding that God has given you a certain ability, he's given you giftedness, he's given you provision in order that we may be a blessing, in order that we may represent his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Be generous. Be generous with your finances. Be generous with your time in serving one another. Some of you, God may move on your heart to be the bread for others in terms of you see your neighbor who's elderly and you see their lawns are hanging over your fence going, hello. And God is saying to you, you've got a lawn mower. Why don't you go over there and mow their lawns? And you're like, no, they don't have time. That must be not be God. No. If you want other people to discover the daily bread that can be found in Jesus, One of the best ways you can do that is to be generous and to be the source of bread for others. In this COVID-19 situation, the tendency is to self-preserve. The tendency is for us to lack faith or just preserve what we have. It's just about me and mine. And God would say, no, it's not about you and yours. Even in this moment, God is still on mission, calling us to be the bread and to provide bread for others. So as we wind up, here's the discussion question I want you to just discuss with the people that are around you at this time. And that's this question here. Do you trust God enough to give your all for someone who doesn't yet trust him? Do you trust God enough to give your all for someone who doesn't yet trust him? Reading that question, I pray that you begin to see that there is somebody who gave his all for someone who doesn't yet trust him. Even for some of us who have been Christians for a long time, he still gave his all and was not conditional on whether you trust him or not. His love is unconditional. In order for us to reflect that love, my brothers and sisters, I invite you to ask this question of yourself. Do you trust God enough to give your all for someone who doesn't yet trust him? And for those of you who are here and maybe you don't know Jesus and you haven't experienced the one who gave his all for you, I want to invite you, whether you're here live or you're watching online, to receive him as the one who is your complete source of satisfaction over and above anything you could ever ask or think. So God, as I invite my brothers and sisters to pray with me, wherever they find themselves, whether they are believers in Jesus, in you, God, and they need to recenter on you, you're using this message that you've put on my heart to communicate with my brothers and sisters to see that you are the source of all things. And for those of us who aren't yet followers of you, Jesus, I thank you that you are more than enough for us and that we have this opportunity to give our lives over to you, that you would help us find you as the center. We trust you as Lord, whether we're followers of you or not. We trust you as Lord today. Lord meaning ruler, Lord meaning boss, Lord meaning the one who calls the shots. We trust you wholeheartedly today. If you're seated here today and whether you are a follower of Jesus and there's specific aspects of your life that God is highlighting, man, I need to trust him there. I need to trust him in that, those aspects. Or whether you aren't a follower of Jesus and your desire is to give your life over to him, whatever the Holy Spirit is highlighting, can you surrender it to him? And the way we do this, just as a prophetic symbol, is to lift our hands to him and surrender as we put our trust in him. Can you just do that right now? I want to pray for us. God, we trust you. We trust you enough that you gave your all for us, and we are completely fulfilled, completely satisfied, only in you and only in your shalom peace, that you complete us. You are the source of completion. Lord, help us not to look for completion in other things, but towards you as our sustainer. We bless you today, God. We put our trust in you. Just take about 10 seconds right now and surrender whatever it is that God is calling you to surrender to him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, your word says where two or three agree on anything in your name, where two agree on anything in your name, it shall be done. I thank you, Lord, that as there is submission of these specific areas of our lives, God, that you are indeed taking your rightful place on the throne of control in our lives, and that we trust you because you know what's best for us. Lord, utilize us to be your vessels for others. I'm even sensing here today that God is calling you to be the answer of prayer for other people. Ask God whom he might put on your heart to give your all for, to give for, so that they may see God's glory in your life. Who is God calling you to be generous towards today? Who is God calling you to give off your time, your talent, your treasure in order to serve, in order to love, in order that they may experience God? Thank you, Lord. Make much of yourself in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.